Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue is open. Good morning, everyone. We will start today with a public hearing and work session on House Bill 2148. I believe that's Christina. She will give us a brief summary, and then we'll call up some of the stakeholders and proponents.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2148A would exempt, formally exempt property, permanent improvements located on federal land that's held in trust for federally recognized Indian tribes or tribe members from state and local property taxes, fees, charges, and assessments. And the measure has no fiscal impact and is deemed to have no revenue impact as well. You'll see in OLIS there is a legislative council opinion on whether these properties are actually taxable in the first place, and the opinion is expresses that it is not typically taxable, this property anyway. So the revenue impact statement is therefore no revenue impact. And this has to do with some various court cases that have happened. The Confederate Tribes of the Chehalis Reservation versus the Thurston County Board of Equalization was found to still not result in, the opinion from that case does not result in the taxation of these lands.
And key and sentence properties. In the legislative council opinion seems to be, if the legislature makes a policy choice, the federal doctrine supports this choice, given the lack of federal guidance on that point.
Correct.
Okay. We have a sign-up sheet. Well, let's start off with Justin Martin. I'll just go down the list. Do you guys want to come up together or come up as a team? Okay. Woodrow, Howie.
That's never good. We're starting out with a legal opinion. Bad news.
Get ready.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Justin Martin, and I'm here today on behalf of the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, where I'm also a tribal member. We are here in full support of House Bill 2148. We did a lot of work in the interim with the Department of Revenue, the Association of Oregon County Assessors, the Association of Oregon Counties, and all nine tribes. As you see, I think you've got materials in front of you with all nine tribes supporting this bill. As you all know, because you've been a part of it, Oregon has a truly unique history when it comes to the government-to-government relationship and working well with our nine federally recognized tribes. From the creation of the Commission on Indian Services under then-Senator Atiyah to the Executive Order 9630 to putting that into statute in 2001, we can all be very, very proud of what we've done when it comes to that government-to-government relationship. We believe that House Bill 2148 is a continuation of that process. As you know, we've deleted offensive language from Oregon Geographic Board names. We've created an Indian education specialist within the Department of Education. We've licensed and certified tribal police officers as peace officers throughout the state. Again, we think this gets around potential problems that are coming in the future. With that, we've got some expert testimony and an elected official here today, so I will wrap this up and we will move on to that. Why do we need House Bill 2148? We believe that there's a lack of clarity in state law discouraging development on tribal trust lands because of the fear of double taxation. Tribes already provide and pay for governmental services on tribal trust lands. Oregon statutes need to be consistent with controlling federal law, and we believe this bill will help us to avoid unnecessary litigation that was seen in Washington and other parts of the country. We also believe this will promote economic development for tribes. As you know, we are in rural communities where every opportunity to diversify our economies as much as possible is key. We would like to be able to offer a degree of certainty to those business entities looking to locate within our reservation. So with that, Mr. Chair, again, we ask for your support of House Bill 2148, and thank you very much for hearing it today.
You bet. Let's go on with your team. And
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Woodrow Starr. I'm an elected official of the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. The Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation is a federally recognized tribal government. Our permanent homeland, located in Northeast Oregon, was created by our 1855 treaty with the U.S. government, under which we gave up 6.4 million acres of land to the United States while preserving our sovereignty for the next generation. Our tribal government has enacted dozens of tribal laws and annual work plans. We provide services for education, public safety, water management, land use, housing, social, economic development, and an independent judiciary system for our reservation. In 2012, Oregon tribes stimulated more than $1.5 billion in economic output statewide, supporting a total of 13,153 jobs and nearly $507 million in wages and benefits. Speaking just about our CTUIR, we are the largest employer in Umatilla County. We have over 1,750 employees, and over 60% of our employees are non-Indian. I'm here today to ask you to support HB 2148, a bill that tribal governments developed over a two-year period in close collaboration with the Department of Revenue, county assessors, the cities, and the governor's office. I'm pleased to introduce Howie Arnett, who will testify about the details of this legislation. I want to thank the other eight tribes and the state and local governments who assisted us as we developed this bill through Oregon's strong government-to-government process. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Howard Arnett. I'm tribal attorney for the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs Reservation of Oregon. I'm also an adjunct professor of law at the University of Oregon School of Law, where I teach Indian law courses. I have a longer statement, written statement I've submitted for the record, so I'll just briefly summarize it. As staff has reported to you, this bill, and as the Legislative Council's opinion to Representative Barnhart discusses, the bill essentially embodies a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision handed down 2 years ago, and Oregon is part of the Ninth Circuit, and it's an interesting case. The facts, underlying facts, aren't apparent unless you've driven up and down Interstate 5. When you pass through Chehalis, Washington, there's a large water park called Great Wolf Lodge on the west side of the highway. If you've got grandkids or kids, you've probably been badgered to take them to the Great Wolf Lodge. That piece of land is part of the Chehalis Tribe's reservation. The land itself, where the Great Wolf Lodge facility is located, is trust land. Trust land meaning land is owned by the United States, held in trust for the Chehalis Tribe. Trust land is not taxable because it's owned by the federal government and it's held in trust for the tribe. The Great Wolf Lodge is an enterprise developed by a corporation of which the Chehalis Tribe is the majority interest owner in that corporation, and the Great Wolf Lodge is the minority. It's a national company that franchises these facilities around the country. And Thurston County, the local jurisdiction, sought to tax the permanent improvements, not the underlying trust land, but the permanent improvements, meaning the water park, the hotel, the convention facilities, and so on. And the legal issue was, could the county tax the permanent improvements, which are fixed to the land, attached to the land, which itself is not taxable? And what the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said, no. Permanent improvements become part of the underlying dirt, the land itself, which is not taxable. Therefore, the permanent improvements are not taxable. And even though the entity that owns the permanent improvements was a mixed tribal, non-tribal entity, the Ninth Circuit said it doesn't matter who owns the facility. If it is a permanent improvement attached to trust land, it's not taxable. And that's essentially what this bill does, is make that principle part of Oregon law, and would essentially remove any possibility of uncertainty about that in Oregon and avoid costly and unnecessary litigation. And it's limited to specifically the question of local taxation of permanent improvements. It doesn't address the issue of how that might fit in with centrally assessed taxation, because that wasn't an issue in the Great Wolf Lodge case. So this bill doesn't address that either. And as staff has reported, as far as we can tell, there is no local jurisdiction in Oregon that is currently seeking to tax permanent improvements on tribal trust land, so this would have no revenue impact. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. I am familiar with the Great Wolf Lodge, probably too familiar with it. And it's interesting to me. It seems like, I mean, it all makes sense, and especially given the legal proceedings. But wouldn't this then cause, wouldn't if I'm a corporation, say, look, we could save money if we made a deal on some reservation land to build our facility there and escape property taxes at least?
Well, as Justin indicated, the tribe can tax that facility. And the question the tribe has faced in the past when tribes have looked at partnerships, development partnerships, Warm Springs was looking at a cogeneration facility involving solid waste, and the developer wanted to know, are we going to be subject to local taxation on the facility we build and also tribal taxation on the facility build, double taxation? And the tribe essentially, because of that uncertainty, has to waive their ability to tax the facility if the local jurisdiction, the county, is going to tax it. Now, if the county, it's clear the county cannot tax the permanent improvements, that gives the tribe an opportunity to tax the facility on its own land. It may be at a lower rate than what the local government would have taxed it, and that helps fund tribal governmental services, police departments, court systems, ambulance and emergency technical services. Those are the governmental services that all the tribes in Oregon provide to the residents and visitors to their reservation lands. And to support that, they need to have some ability to tax. And they do have that ability under federal law, but oftentimes they've, in the case of permanent improvements on trust land, they've had to essentially surrender that ability in order to entice developers who otherwise would be taxed by the local jurisdictions.
The Great Wolf Lodge, there still was a state sales tax, or was there not?
Still state taxes?
Sales tax.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. No, the only taxes that are precluded are the taxes that directly attach to the permanent improvements, and sales taxes do not.
I see. Okay.
Senator Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there a distinction, and I apologize for the basic nature of this question. I just don't know as much as I should about this area of law. Is there a distinction between trust land and, say, land that a tribe purchases? And could a tribe purchase land, or does this only apply to trust land? Or could they purchase land and then build something on it, say, like in the Coburg Hills just outside of Eugene or something? Because I know that actually was a contemplated project at one point in time. And then would they be exempt from?
No, it would not be exempt. What you're referring to, Senator, is called fee land. So if a tribe purchases land, they're just like anybody else purchasing privately owned property. It's called fee land. It's fully taxable while it remains in fee status. In fact, most reservations in Oregon have some fee land located within their boundaries. Fee land is taxable. And this legislation and the legal principle from the Great Wolf Lodge case only applies once that land becomes trust land. There is a process for tribes to convert fee land into trust land, but it's an administrative process that goes through the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and it's not a certainty it's going to happen, and it takes years for it to be completed.
Thank you. Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Council, I do have a question for you, because your very last statement was, as you know, there's no impact today. And just as a background, I think you may be familiar with this because you obviously are familiar with these cases here. In the 2005 era, we had both legal counsel outside of this building and the Department of Revenue telling us that there was no plan to expand intangible property tax assessments through the central assessment. And back then, had the legislature taken action and fixed it, we wouldn't be in some of the situations we are today. You made the statement, given that background, that, well, there isn't any land right now, and there's no anticipation of which the state is looking at centrally assessing these properties. This is sort of a preemptive fix into the future. However, I believe you have read this four-page or six-page document here, and it certainly looks to me like the Department of Revenue, who's not present in the room, and the finance and tax section of the Department of Justice spent a considerable amount of time writing an argument of why this bill is not needed and why they should do something different. Would you care to comment on that and frankly, expand on why we should do this now so that we prevent a problem in the future?
Well, I can't speak for the Department of Revenue. I read the Legislative Council's opinion, and I fully agree with it. They were responding to the arguments by the Department of Revenue that the bill was either too broad because the Great Wolf Lodge case did not involve land that was fully, or permanent improvements that were fully owned by a private entity. The entity involved, Great Wolf Lodge, is a mixed tribal private entity of which the tribe is a majority landowner. And they concluded that that doesn't make any difference because the Ninth Circuit said so in the Great Wolf Lodge case, that it doesn't matter who owns the land. And the second part of the Legislative Council's opinion was the question of the Department of Revenue taking the view that the bill is too narrow, should have gone broader and included centrally assessed property. And Legislative Council concluded, as we did when we crafted the bill, that the Great Wolf Lodge case did not involve centrally assessed property. That is a different kind of tax. It's a different issue. And there may be a future court case about whether or not centrally assessed properties are touched by the Great Wolf Lodge decision. But it didn't in this particular case, and it hasn't been expanded by the courts, and so we chose not to include it in here. I think that's an open question, and I think that's a conclusion of the Legislative Council. The reason for doing this is to make it clear, and I've been involved in, as I mentioned, there was a cogeneration project a number of years ago involving Warm Springs, and developers want tax certainty. They want to know for sure that they're not subject to various kinds of things. You want to know who's going to tax them, what they're going to tax them for, and so on and so forth. And in the past, we haven't been able to tell potential developers, your permanent improvements will not be subject to local property taxes. Now, with the passage of this bill, if that happens, we will be able to tell them, and I think that will help facilitate future development projects.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other questions? Okay. All right, thank you. No one else signed up to participate in this hearing.
Mr. Chair, we're in a work session, right?
We are in a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2148A to the floor with a do pass.
Senator Boquist moves House Bill 2148 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion? Senator Riley?
Yeah, just that I would like to carry the bill.
Come on, I want to carry the bill.
Any objections? Seeing none, Senator Riley got there first. Senator Riley will carry the bill. House Bill 2148A goes to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a do-pass recommendation. And I will open a hearing and work session on House Bill 3001A. And I'm not sure if we have anyone here ready to go on that or not. So we will stand in recess for 5 minutes. Paul?
Is this somebody's bill?
Yes. 01, and we'll carry it over until tomorrow. And there's no other business before us, so we will adjourn for the day. Adjourn for the day, Chuck. That means we could come in later today. Adjourn.